Blog Talk Radio.
Exploration. Love. Healing. Magic. You've entered a very special place where anything can happen. Stay inside your ride, but be prepared to expand your consciousness. Welcome to the Psychic Funhouse.
Well,
hello.
Hello. Go on, Lawrence.
Oh, no. This is for you. I jumped in.
You want me to jump in? Very good.
Please do.
Very good. Okay. Well, hello, everyone. Always so excited to be part of the Psychic Funhouse team. And tonight we have a very special guest speaker. But I'd like to, before we introduce Debbie, I'd like to give a shout out to my wonderful and fabulous co-host, Michael J. Espinoza, medium and psychic to the stars. And hello, Michael.
Hello, Adrian. Hello, Lawrence. Hello, everybody. And, hello, Debbie.
Yeah. And Mr. Lawrence Birch, shaman, herbologist, and all-around fantastic human being and healer.
Yes, very much so. Glad to be here. Welcome, everybody. Thank you, thank
hello,
you.
Shamanic Birch.
Hello.
Yes, indeed. Hello, hello. And our special guest this evening is Debbie Hamilton, and we're going to hear lots of interesting things from her and learn a lot as well. So hi, Debbie, and welcome.
Hi. Hi, Adrian. Hi, Lawrence. Hi, Michael. Thank you for having me on. I look forward to this evening. And welcome
hi,
to everybody in the out there in the viewing world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm always thinking about lots of different things, and, you know, my joy and love for this show continues to develop and grow. And, you know, if you're enjoying it, if you're listening to us, I hope that you will consider telling your friends about it. And also liking us and loving us, you know, we are on four of the major platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Amazon. And we certainly would appreciate you following us. And like I said, you know, tell a friend, please. So.
Absolutely. Tell a friend.
Yeah. Tell a friend, please. So, also, you know, there's a little a nudge here that I'd like to take care of right away, maybe again later in the show. But, you know, and that's from the legal department, you know, that wants us to convey very clearly that while all of us are professional psychics, mediums, healers, our services, our advice, our opinions do not take the place of medical and legal professionals. And if you do have questions and needs pertaining to medical and legal issues, you know, please seek those professionals out. So, like I said, I always like to try to get that taken care of so we can jump in. So Any announcements? Michael, do you have any announcements?
I do. So I wanted to announce that I have a class coming up every Monday. So it'll be this Monday. That will be, oh, my God, can you believe we're in April already? April 10th. Uh-huh. And it's down in Laguna, Laguna Hills. And it's every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. It's through heartspaceoc.com. It is a psychic tarot class, and I alternate with a good friend, Frank Falcon. He comes on our show as well. He teaches tarot. I teach psychic and mediumship development, and Monday will be my time to teach. And also, I have a class coming up, or actually not a class, a meditation. And that's going to be on Sunday morning. I don't have a date yet, probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that will be at my healing studio in Whittier, California. So if you're interested, you can reach out to me on my website, michaeljespinoza.com. That's all for the announcements. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. So exciting. So exciting. Yeah. Lawrence, how about you?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of announcements to make other than that I am fully ensconced in my new office space. So that is, yes, so I'm happy about that. And I'm happy to start seeing clients in my new space from here on out. So come and find me if you're in Corvallis, Oregon.
Wonderful, and certainly enjoyed seeing those, seeing the visual tour that you gave us. Looks like such a nice space.
Yeah. All sorts of stuff. Well, how about you, Adrian?
Uh-huh.
Anything worth sharing?
Well,
with
you know,
listeners?
Yeah. Let's see. I have been. I've had a busy week doing some readings and helping a few folks find alcohol and drug treatment. That's been very, very busy. And you know, I'm going to also let Debbie share a little bit. But Debbie and I work together with a development class. We started doing a beginning mediumship class during the week on Thursdays from 7 until 9, and we've recently made some adjustments to it. So, Debbie, I'm going to let you go ahead and talk a little bit, make that announcement, and but before you speak, let me just say that if you would like any information about myself or some of the events that I have coming up, you can find me on my website, which is ravenmessages.com. So, Debbie, what kind of announcement do you have to make, and how can people get in touch?
Okay, well, just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying a little bit, our class is on Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and we've, like you said, changed it up a little bit, and we're now doing more of a metaphysical teaching and practice. So we're opening it up for everyone and anyone that's interested, that knows what their gifts are, that wants to work a little bit more on understanding and learning, all the way up to the advanced students. So very exciting. We will be holding it in Lake Forest. So if anybody's interested, you know, give either Adrian or myself a shout, and we'll hook you up a little bit there. And then for myself, I have an office in Lake Forest on El Toro, and that's where I do my private readings as well. And I have started back up as of this last Saturday doing demo work, and I'm scheduled to be doing one approximately every 6 to 8 weeks for the next, well into the summer, and then we'll continue into the winter months as well. But
good.
I do that at Awakenings, so that's
very good.
That's that as well.
Very good.
So
quickly, what is your website?
My website is dhhealinglight.com, and light
okay.
is L-I-G-H-T.
Perfect. Perfect. Wonderful. Well, we'll get a moment or two a little bit later in the show for you to repeat your contact info. I want to move on here, make sure that we stay the course. And I'm so excited, Chris. I just think you're fabulous and love you to pieces as a friend and colleague. And you have quite a background, and I'd like you to be able to take, you know, the next 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, and talk a little bit about your history and the work that you do. And, just in case, anybody is wanting a little bit more information, you know, you're nationally known psychic and medium, Reiki and Karuna Reiki master, and been in the field for about 20 years. And, and you went to a school called Impart in Orange County in the city of
yes.
Orange, I think it was, and you became
mm-hmm.
certified. And, like I said, you have quite a background, not only as a practitioner, but a teacher as well. So tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would.
Okay, well, I started this work, as you said, about 20 years ago. I grew up kind of fairly like a normal existence, you know, the Cunningham household, and just kind of went through life, going to school, doing my thing. But there was always little things that would happen to me that I thought was rather normal, but other people didn't think they were quite so normal, but basically kind of chose to put it aside and start my business. I had a very successful graphic design business, and I was kind of knee-deep in that and getting married and starting our house and so on and so forth. And so my focus was on that business. And then I like to call it, the tap from spirit. About 20 years ago, I started getting the tap, mostly through other readers and things like that, kind of telling me, hey, I'm reading your palm and you are extremely clairvoyant. And, not quite sure what that means, but okay, I'll take it, And it just kind of kept, all of a sudden, these people just started kind of entering my life and telling me, you do know you're a medium. You'll get confirmation in 24 hours. And then 24 hours later, somebody kind of says to me, you do know you're a medium. It's like, okay, I guess that's the confirmation. So I like to call it the tap on the shoulder that eventually turned into the slap up the side of the head until I finally listened. And then, like they say, when you're ready, the teacher will show. And it was kind of interesting because I was doing research and couldn't find anybody, any school, anything that could really help me that I felt like I fit in or I felt comfortable with. And I was one day, one of my clients wanted me to do a rendition of the map of their location. So I was Googling their location so I could do this artwork. And all of a sudden, this woman's face shows up. And her name is Anne Reese, and she was the owner of Impart and still is the owner of Impart. And And I just picked up the phone and called for a consultation, and that was kind of the launching of it. You know, that was the teacher I felt comfortable with, that I had this energetic pull to. So then I proceeded to start going to classes. I mean, I was almost living at her studio because every class I just started I was just pulled to everything. So I started with the, you know, psychic and the medium, and then all of a sudden I heard about Reiki and Karuna Reiki, and before you knew it, I was going through all of the steps to become a master. Why I chose to become a master, you know, people say, why did you? It's like, I just was pulled to do it. So I did it. And then eventually, you know, I became certified, but even before I became certified, I started on the side doing readings and healings for people. And then my client list started to grow. Word of mouth started happening. And now I've pretty much retired from my graphics business. And, you know, only kind of keeping a couple of small clients. But other than that, the bulk of it has been kind of moved away to someone else. And now I'm like 100% in on the readings and the healings. And that's kind of where I sit now, you know. And it's word of mouth that I just kind of keep growing, and which is really great.
Absolutely. It sounds like it was just like a real natural progression of things, you know.
A lot of talking to my guides and asking them to kind of, you know, make the move ease, because, you know, I have the responsibility of my graphics business and employees and all that. So it's like, just make it gradual. Make it, you know, kind of just kind of generically happen, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, good. Well,
yeah.
So I was going to ask you, you know, you described how you got tapped. I like that. You know, tapped, spirit or the universe or whichever tapped you, and people were telling you about, you know, that you had abilities as a medium. How is it that you became interested in Reiki? How did that enter the picture?
So through my schooling, you know, I was told, I'd never heard of Reiki before, and I was told, you know, at the school by the teacher that she's was a Reiki master and a Karuna master, and she told all the students that I really recommend that you take at least Reiki 1, because Reiki 1, some of the symbols actually open up your intuitive eye, or whatever you want to call it. And so I went for Reiki 1 just because I wanted to have this intuitive line open up on me. And then from there, it was like, this is kind of fun. I like this. This is, you know, this feels really cool. And so then I went to 2, I went to 3. And then from there, I went to Karuna 1 and then went to Karuna 2. And then I went back to become a master at Reiki, because you needed to be a master at Reiki to become a master at Karuna. And that's kind of the progression of it, how you have to do it. So then for some reason, I chose to take it all the way to being a master. I like to say I did it because I like to finish things, but anybody that knows me knows that that's not really necessarily true. I can abandon things really easy when they get boring. So I just found it very interesting. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's good. I've got into it. You know, I've kind of stumbled along the way a lot. Thank goodness for spirit and my guides that have kind of been, you know, pushing me in the right direction, and I've just let them push me in the direction they feel I need to go, and I just listen to them and do what they tell me to do.
Sure. Well, I love that, you know, following the divine and divine guidance and what have you. I was wondering if either one of my co-hosts might have a question for you, because this is kind of a topic of discussion that touches all of us. And I was just wondering, Michael or Lawrence, if you had a question for Debbie.
I had a question, maybe. We have pretty educated listeners, but I thought it might be worth giving kind of a mini walkthrough of a typical Reiki session you might have with a client, what transpires, and maybe how the Karuna style is different from other types of Reiki, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. So for anybody that doesn't know, basically what Reiki is it goes all the way back to it started with a gentleman who in Japan, and slowly kind of worked its way, getting bigger and bigger and more people. In the beginning, he was the only one that could do it. Then he was allowed to have some men do it. Then he was guided to finally allow women to be able to do it as well. And then the Karuna is a higher, Reiki is like white light energy. We're kind of pulling out all of the negative and then flooding you with this beautiful white light. Karuna is, there was a point where because the world consciousness was kind of raising, they kind of came in and said, you know what, we need to raise Reiki, and we're going to do that by adding symbols, and those symbols will now be called Karuna, and it will be a higher frequency. So a standard session would, for myself, and everybody does it differently, but for myself, I welcome the person in. I usually have them pull a card in the beginning, and I'll kind of look at the card and read the card to them. And then they just lay comfortably on the table. I put crystals, chakra crystals, on each chakra going up. And then once they're completely relaxed, I start the process, which is calling in my guides, my Reiki guides, and just opening it up with the symbol to start the flow of the Reiki. Then I kind of scan the body to see if I can find any congestion or pain or anything like that, so I know where to concentrate. And then I just start, I don't touch, my hands hover above, and I just start pulling out the energy, almost like raking it out of them and throwing it away, and then pushing the new energy in. And then I'll usually go and I'll have a crystal in one hand, and then I'll put my other hand over the chakra, and I check the chakras with the pendulum before I start to see if the chakras are open and closed. And then I'll kind of go and I'll work each chakra until each one of them are open and spinning in the right direction and everything like that. And then I tend to use tuning forks, and I also do toning, which is I go into the top of the crown, top of the head, and I chant out some of the Reiki and Karuna symbols into their head, and just kind of let it go from their top of their head to their toes. And then I fluff their aura up. I put a sheet of protection over them, depending upon what is going on in the healing. I'll decide what color I want this sheet to be, and then I close it up, step back, and also close myself up and protect myself, and cut any energy from myself. And then once the person gets up, I'll give them any messages that I may have received, whether they're intuitive messages or messages from a loved one that came through while they were in the process of laying there. Mm-hmm. And that's basically beginning to end session for myself.
Yeah. So it sounds like you kind of combine several modalities. You do a little tarot at the beginning, then the Reiki, and then some mediumship.
I do. I'm doing the pendulum as well. The chakra clearings, I throw the whole gamut in there. And sometimes, nobody comes through, and sometimes even the card, it's just like, okay, I'm not getting anything more than what the card is saying, but usually some pretty significant information when they're in that state.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so that's great.
Michael, do you have a question? That was great, Laura, and so thank you, Debbie, for that. It's just fascinating techniques and practice there. Michael, did you have a question for Debbie at this time?
Yes, I did. Hi, Debbie.
Okay.
Hi. I was wondering, and you kind of explained it a little bit there about how the guides come in to give you information to give to the client. And so I was wondering if you can just talk a little bit about that. How that you receive that and how you give that information during the session, after a session. Yeah.
I usually give it after because usually I don't want to disturb the person. It's not unusual for them to start crying, so I always have Kleenex, and if they start to cry, I'll just kind of put a Kleenex in their hand so they know that they can use that. Beyond that, I don't like to disturb them at all. I forewarn them about the toning and the tuning forks and everything, so they're not surprised by that as well. As far as getting the message, so I give the messages in the end, and the messages are coming through from my intuitive guides and my that team, because when you are attuned to Reiki, you get a team of Reiki guides. So when I start the process and when I'm doing the openings, those are the guides I'm calling in, are mainly my Reiki guides to come and help me with this healing. And then, of course, I call in my team, anybody that wants to come and, either bring through intuitive information or a loved one, you're welcome to be here. But at this point, I'm mainly working with my Reiki guides, and they are the ones that are helping with the healing. So a lot of times, like people have said, when they've watched me do it, they're like, you're talking, I can see your lips moving, why are your lips moving? And a lot of times I'm talking to my Reiki guides and saying, please, help this person, or please heal this person, please send them the healing energy that they need. So I'm in constant communication with them. So, and that's the other reason why I wait till the end, because I don't want to disturb my Reiki guide, and then once I do the close off, my Reiki guides, I then thank my Reiki guides and they step back. And then my other guides then kind of are the ones that kind of step in at that point to give any additional information. So that's kind of how that works.
That's interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Debbie. How long is a typical Reiki session?
They can vary. I mean, a normal one is about 40 to 45 minutes in length. There are times if I'm also getting a lot of information, I might cut the session short I can usually tell by my hands, because what happens is that I feel the heat coming out of my hands. So if you have like an injury or you're there's a lot going on in your head and you're very stressed or something like that, I'll hold my hands above your head and I feel this heat that comes out and this tingling. And eventually when it goes to cold, that knows that I've pushed as much in that's needed. So if all of a sudden I'm going through and I'm finding that all of the body is now settled down and they're feeling some coolness to their body and I'm not getting messages, I'll continue going and just keep putting in the white light. If I'm getting a lot of messages, then that's when I'm guided to close it off. But a normal one is anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes, but I also do chair healings as well. A lot of times if somebody is coming in for a session or something like that, for a mediumship session, I mean, you guys all probably know that sometimes people come in and they're a little bit nervous and a little bit anxious and there's a lot of high anxiety there. So a lot of times what I'll do is just to calm them down is I'll do like a quick chair Reiki on them where they're sitting and I start and I'll go for maybe 5 minutes just pouring the energy in to help calm them. And there's a lot of people that actually request that. You know, they'll come in and they're fine, but as they're getting ready to leave, they'll tell me when they start, you know what, can you make sure that, you know, you leave 10 minutes because I really like that chair Reiki thing you did to me last time. I had the best day ever. So I want you to pour some of that into me. So it can go anywhere from a quick 10 minute to much longer.
Okay.
And it can be done at a distance too. A person does not have to be right in front of me or, you know, I can sit back and literally send it to any one of you at any time, just by, putting in a distance symbol and then concentrating and visualizing you, visualizing a family, visualizing a city, visualizing a state. We'll do this a lot too, like if there's an earthquake or if there's a flood or some unrest going on in the world, we'll like literally look at that area or even the world in our hands and just start putting this healing light throughout the world to help them.
Yeah. So I have a couple questions, a couple additional questions here before we look at taking some calls. And I'm so excited. It looks like we have quite a few people waiting to call in. So, but I was wondering, so we know that usually when people come to see a medium, it's because they're seeking to connect with loved ones that are deceased. And yet my question is when it comes to Reiki, what kind of things is a person going through when, or, you know, what are they talking about? What kind of complaints or physical or emotional issues is the typical client going through when they seek out Reiki assistance or treatment?
Okay, it's across the board. I've had people come to me and just kind of they look at it as like a massage, a hands-off massage. And they just become so relaxed that they just like to have this feeling. Other people, I have some clients that actually aren't even in California, and they'll contact me periodically and say, you know, I'm having to go to this gathering that I know is going to be extremely stressful, and I know I'm going to be bouncing off the walls. I need you to camp down my energy and get rid of all of this nervousness that I'm dealing with. And then I've had people that have come in and have had like a physical ailment. and they want, I'm having a problem with my shoulder, or this scar on my leg won't heal. I remember one time my aunt had called me. My uncle was in ICU, and his hands had swollen up so badly that in the morning, if the swelling didn't go down and his blood pressure didn't stabilize, they were going to have to cut off his wedding ring that had been on his finger for like 60 years. And she was just heartbroken at that. So she called me up and she said, can you come and do some Reiki on Uncle Eddie? And I said, sure. So I went over to the ICU and I sat there and I just pushed it in. And the next morning when they went in, they handed her the ring. It wasn't cut. And they said, we don't know why, but the swelling in his hand came all the way down where we were able just to pull it off. And now you take it and bring it home with you. And, but we didn't have to cut it. It came off freely. And also his blood pressure has balanced out. And we really don't know why, because we didn't do anything differently. That's why you're finding surprisingly, a lot of nurses, hospice workers, and even doctors. They don't really advertise it too much, but a lot of them are Reiki practitioners, and they are giving it to their patients, and their patients don't even know that they're doing it to help them, to relax them. If they know that the patient is getting ready to transition, they do the transition symbol to them so that they can transition with peace and comfort and the whole shot. So it's actually surprising how many hospitals, how many of the staff in the hospital are walking around and they don't really say, yeah, I do Reiki. They don't even talk about it until they see you doing it, and then they kind of give you a thumbs up as they walk by, and it's like, okay, thank you.
Debbie, I was thinking those chair sessions that you start off with would be really good for Michael, because he gets very anxious when he goes to healers in the beginning. So that's a nice service to do. Yeah.
That would be nice.
Anytime. Just let me know, and I'll be more than happy to send it your way.
Thank you.
Any of you. Just let me know.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, it sounds like it's really a practice that requires a lot of training. I mean, it's not, it doesn't sound like it's necessarily easy. I don't suppose, well, you tell me, can a person be self-taught? Or do you need to get training to do this?
Well, you can actually, there's books on Reiki and the symbols and everything, but you have to be attuned to the symbols. And that's what the master is, okay? So, like, when I say I'm a master, it's not because I am so much better than the next person. Master changed nothing except for it gave me a couple of symbols that allows me to then go in and attune you to make you a Reiki 1 practitioner and all the way up the line. So I could literally take you and make you all the way to a Reiki master, because I am a Reiki master. So you can read about it, but you have to be attuned to the symbols, and that's done by a master.
Mm.
So
wonderful.
And I know there's some online that do teach it online, and they do the attuning online. I'm not quite sure about that. I mean, I'm sure it works, but I think that the whole overall feeling and, you know, all the work that's done around it, it took me probably 80, 90 hours of training and attuning to become masters in both. So it's not something that's done fast, easy, and quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
And so people can reach out to you, and you do trainings at your office in Lake Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Very exciting. Thank you for all of that information. It's just fascinating and helpful. You know, that's the thing. It's helpful.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, Michael or Lawrence, did you have any other questions before we start taking some calls?
I do not right now.
I'm loaded with questions, but I want to give our callers a chance to ask their own questions and get some
All right. Well, we're ready.
Are we ready to go to the phones?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Okay. Yeah. You got some phone calls. So let's do it. All right. So here on the Funhouse, we let you know you're on the air with us by announcing your area code. And then if you could bless us with your name and location, we'll zero in on where you're at and go from there. So this is our first caller of the show. This is area code 651. They've been patiently waiting. Hello, 651. You're on the Psychic Funhouse with Lawrence, Michael, Adrian, and our special guest, Debbie. How can we help you? What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Christiana calling from Minnesota.
Hi, Christiana. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Hi there.
Hi.
Very good. Very good.
So my question is about my ex-boyfriend and my mother. Are they going to be able to manage things financially and be okay without me around? Because I'm moving.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of a support person for them? Is that part of what's...
Well, I pay rent and some of the bills, so mm-hmm. I think it's more than just financial, but are they just going to be okay without me around all the time?
Was that
or
did
not?
You say ex-boyfriend and mother?
Yeah.
Okay.
And can you share share their names with us at all? Is that something you can do?
My mother is Sharon and then Ron.
Okay. Well, Ron and Sharon there. Okay. Great. Give us a moment to tune in for you and we'll have our responses.
Okay.
Hi, Christina. It's Adrienne. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi there.
Thanks for taking me.
So are they in the Midwest?
Yeah, we're in Minnesota.
Okay. I'm just kind of getting that everyone is going to be okay. And I mean that in like a very generalized way. And I do believe that your move is necessary and what I'm getting is divinely orchestrated, which is a lot, but that's what I'm getting. In regards to your mom and Ron, I feel like things, like I said, you know, in a general way will be fine for them. I do believe that initially it's going to be it's going to be hard. I feel like, you know, because change within a family system is usually pretty hard. And I don't know if there's alcohol or anything going on that makes it even more difficult, but I do believe that things will be better and it's going to be a good positive change for everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Can I jump in there too?
I think we're going to go to the next one okay.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to I agree with what Adrian says. I'm also getting that this is your time and that it's time for you to take care of yourself. I feel like you have been carrying a burden that you don't necessarily need to carry, and this burden that you're carrying is also enabling them to depend upon you. And I think that that's why you have been given this opportunity to go elsewhere so that you can become your own person, become responsible for yourself, and live your life. I think it's time for you to do that and just spread your wings and start flying, because I feel like there's a lot there for you to accomplish in life for yourself. And this whole situation isn't serving your highest good anymore. You've been a warrior, and it's time to stop being a warrior. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Michael. Hi, Christiana. This is Michael, and I'm going to agree with both Debbie and Adrian. What I'm getting is that this is your time, and it's kind of like it's time for you to leave because you need to work on yourself. And for your mother and her boyfriend, they have stuff they need to work out together.
No, it's my ex.
Oh, your ex. Well, they need to work stuff out without you. And I don't know, you need to move on. And they
mm-hmm.
need to work their stuff out, if it's together or separate. And they have to work on their stuff. And so it's time for you to go.
I agree, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'll be
okay.
fine.
Yeah.
And like Adrian said, too, I get, you know, it will all work out and it will be fine. And, you know, when we do something new, it's always a little tough in the beginning. We have to find a new footing and a new normal. And that's what they're going to go through. So they'll be fine. Time for you to go.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Yeah,
thank
Christiana,
you.
This is more, I'm just going to add my 2 cents before we let you go. You know, you wanted to know if your ex Ron and your mother Sharon are going to be fine. And in the big picture sense, they're going to be just fine. If you were to ask each of them if they're going to be fine, they're not going to feel fine, because you're not just a support for them. It's kind of turned into what I would say a little codependent, kind of a crutch relationship that the three of you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so this pull that you felt to break away and emancipate yourself and just kind of get your life going on your terms really scares the both of them. And, you know, even if they're able to express happiness for you, I think at least privately, if not maybe even to your face, they've been – in a way kind of, I wouldn't say undermining you, because they do want the best for you, but they've been resistant to this because it means not having you there. And I think for your mom, it's more of an emotional experience that she's coping with, the thought of you not being there. And for Ron, you know, I think Ron's an okay person. I think he's just got a little bit of growing up to do. Is a little immature in some ways, that really not serving anybody around him, least of all himself. And you've kind of been parenting him for a long time. And now, you know, that's not going to be there anymore. So he's having a bit of an identity crisis. But ultimately, yeah, they're going to be just fine. And the best part is you're going to be more than fine. You're going to have a chance to really take some deep breaths and decide what your priorities are and fulfill some things that you've put off for a long time that you haven't had the energy to really devote to. So this is going to be a really good time for everybody. So congratulations and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Nice.
All right, well, thanks
good.
So much for let us know
yes,
how your move
thank
goes.
You so much.
And everything. Yeah, check in and we'll see how you're doing in a month or so. All right?
Okay. All right. Take
all right,
care.
You bet. You bet. Bye-bye for now. All right. Okay. We got our first call happening.
Good call.
Yeah. Are we ready for another caller? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got a lot of people waiting, so we'll try to get to as many as possible. All right, so this next call is coming from area code 216. Hi there, you're on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
This is Des. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show. Yeah, could you give me your name again? I didn't quite catch it, please.
Desmond,
all right. All right, Desmond from Cleveland.
Welcome
to the show. What can we do?
How you doing? My question is, I got an interview for a job Wednesday. I think I'm going to get it, but I just wanted to know, I read some reviews and it says kind of toxic there. Is it any worse than where I'm at now? I mean, it's more money, but is it any worse than where I'm at now?
A job question, yeah. Talk to where are you working now that there's some toxic issues? What's that about? Can you tell us what concern that is?
It's just the pay is not all that great, and sometimes it could just be a little. There's some cool people there, just sometimes it could just be a little gossipy sometimes and dramatic.
Okay. So social toxicity, not environmental toxicity. Okay, good. Thank you.
I have a question for you, Desmond. I was getting railroad. is the new job, does it have railroad? I don't know why, but is this anything to do with a new job? Have anything to do with the railroad or union, something like that?
No, not that, Nora.
All right.
Hi, Desmond. This is Michael. I'm kind of getting it's going to be very similar. It doesn't feel as toxic as where you're at right now, but it and the toxicity kind of feels like it comes from the higher ups, and they pass down a lot of the problems to people below them. Like it doesn't feel like people at the top accept responsibility for their actions and what's transpiring, and it feels kind of like they, maybe that's where the railroad comes in. They railroad those below them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the thing that I'm getting, it feels like you need to be very clear about whatever the subject is you're dealing with, and you know, of course, being respectful, but also being direct about what they're, the information they're giving you. So it feels like, you know, like you need to kind of give that back to them, you know, where it's kind of like they say, I want you to do this, this, and this. And you say, okay, I just want to clarify. So you want, this is what I'm hearing. And just so that they, It almost feels like they're not like telling the truth all the time.
Or
does that make sense?
New job. The managers, yeah.
Yeah. So I think you'll be fine. It's just, you know, letting them know, like, hey, you know, this is what I'm hearing. Is this correct? That's it.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't plan to be there forever, but I just read reviews and they said management. That's where you hit it on the head. They said management quality.
So just
kind of like lackadaisical. So.
Yeah. They feel kind of lazy, and it's like when they get to that management position, you know, it's time to relax. Everybody else do the work that's under them. So that's what I'm getting. But I think you'll be fine. You just, you know, just address it.
Yeah.
You
know.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm getting the same information as well, that it's the toxicity is coming from above, but that you'll be able to deal with it and handle it. I agree with the communication. I also, that's what I got to as far as the railroad, is there's going to be some railroading there. But I do get that you will be happy and you'll be there for a little while. It's not going to be just a click in and out. So be ready to kind of hang tight for a while.
Oh, okay.
Desmond, something that came through that might kind of augment what my fellow psychics have been saying, sharing with you. What I was being shown was that if you do end up taking this job, if you do get this job, there's a real potential for you to develop a really strong, meaningful friendship with a coworker. Somebody who's going to be a really significant person for you in your life, and they're going to act as a counterweight to any of the office gossips or politics that, you know, might go on no matter where you're at. And I think this is something that you didn't even know you wanted in a way, but I think it's going to develop into something that will be very both refreshing and also just fill in an empty spot in you that, like I was saying, you weren't even aware it was there. So that would be something, definitely kind of a hidden bonus to look forward to in this position. So,
Is it opposite sex, female, lady, I should say, or is just
you know, I didn't get the romance part, at least not at first. I actually got that it might be somebody of the same sex, but it doesn't mean that that's around, but I did see it being platonic at first. So, and I would just, you know, just put out the warning, you know, office romances they can be tricky to navigate. So,
I've been there before. Yeah. But, that's why I asked.
Yeah. Beware.
Yeah.
Beware.
But,
the
hey,
office romance.
Hey,
I think
Justin,
this is going to be a romance.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what kind of happened in my
life,
this job. Yes.
Desmond, this is Adrian again. I would really enjoy hearing from you again, you know, down the road, another month or so. Please check in with us and update us. Let us know if you got the job and what it's like. I'd be very curious.
Okay.
All right.
I sure will.
Well, good luck, Desmond. Thanks for giving us a call.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it for reading. Thanks.
Oh, you take care.
Nice. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We've got family and jobs. Should we go to another phone call? Number 3.
Oh,
are you ready?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Okay. This is our third caller for the evening. This is area code 727. Hi there. You're on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from, please? Hi.
Hi, this is Kate. I'm calling from Florida.
Kate from Florida. How's Florida, Kate?
Terrific. Under a drought. Other than that, we should probably start doing some rain dances.
Right? Or either that or come to the West. Got some extra rain we could sell you.
Yeah. Quite a disparity there, yes.
What can we do for you? You have a question about something, or
I do.
Okay.
My adult daughter applied for a position where there were more than 400 applicants, and it came down to two. The other candidate had experience directly in the industry. We are planning a visit of my going to visit with her. I would like that to be aligned with the time that she's able to be have some free time to be with me. The email that was sent to her reads, "I'm super sorry it didn't work out for this time. However, we will be in touch as soon as a new role opens up. Until then." My question is, so that I can plan, is something going to open up in the near term for her? And is there a new position for her in the near term?
Mm-hmm. So you're wanting to know about the timing of a visit and trying to find the best window to connect with her.
Right. She's very happy where she is in terms of, mm-hmm. It's interesting, the previous caller talking about the culture. The culture is, mm-hmm. wonderful. She has had outstanding mentorship. She just, mm-hmm. could not be less interested in the industry. It happens to be medical, which, mm-hmm. Curiously was my field, has no, mm-hmm. interest in that whatsoever. She likes what she's doing. It's communication and marketing. The, mm-hmm. other industry she describes as her dream job. So she was, uh-huh. deeply disappointed.
I see. Well,
and very much wants. Go ahead.
Okay. And what's her name, if you don't mind sharing?
Sure. Her birth name is Elizabeth with an S. She goes, uh-huh. by her nickname, which is Liz, not Liz, Liz. L-I-S.
L-I-S. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. So would you characterize your question as much for you as it is for her that you're asking?
Oh, absolutely. Or? Yeah, because I'd like, again, to be there to support her, and that,
sure.
she'll need to move cities. It's not a far distance. The city she's living in, it's about an hour train ride from the city where, I'll just say, it's the gaming industry, as in video.
Mm-hmm.
So she would move halfway between where she's living now and the location of the corporation that where she'd like,
mm-hmm.
to be. And,
okay.
the city in the middle where she'd like to live is where she was a student in graduate studies. So she's very familiar with it.
I see. Okay.
So I don't want to go and then have her ask me to turn around and come back.
Mm-hmm. If she's going to relocate. Turn around?
Say?
What would you consider being turnaround? How much time between if you went now to what you would consider being the turnaround time? Like,
well,
a year,
you know,
2 years.
Pardon me?
Like, is it, like, if you were to go right now and would you look at it, when you say you don't want to turn around and have to go right back, is that like turning around 2 weeks later?
Yeah, not, we usually see one another. She's in Europe, so it's not like a quick trip. We usually see one another a couple of times a year. She comes here once a year. I go there once a year.
Okay. When I ask the pendulum, I get that a new offer won't be coming in any less than 6 months.
Okay. Knowing her, she won't wait that long.
Yeah.
She'll find something. Yeah, very much likes where she is. She's ready to go.
Yeah, and when I say less than 6 months, it's with that company. But it kind of gave me a wobbly yes and no, which means possibility on something else coming along. It might not be right up the lines of being the dream job, you know, the absolute dream job. But it would be very close to the dream job. It'd be like the sundae without peanuts and a cherry.
Discount.
She doesn't like nuts anyway, so that would please her.
Good.
She wouldn't do well on our show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts in our show.
Because we're a bunch of
them. Anyone else?
This is Adrian. Just real quick, I agree with Debbie. I'd say no major change for the 6 to possibly even 9 months is what I was getting. I do believe that there will be other opportunities for her. And I just on a side note, just wanted to express, you know, for her to be even the runner up out of, you know, 400 people, that's remarkable. That's just remarkable. So without a doubt, she's highly skilled and professional, and yeah, she's not going to have any difficulty whatsoever. But like Debbie said, at the company that sent the email or letter, I'm getting somewhere between 6 to 9 months before that position opens up. That's what I got. Yes.
So I'm going to go a bit further. Do you see her leaving her present company in the coming 3 months?
Kate, this is Lawrence. The information that I was shown was that either something's going to happen with the person they chose over Liz, or another position's going to open up. But there's going to be a callback, essentially, I would say, from the company to offer Liz either that position or something.
Liz, you know, Lawrence, I have felt that. I did not give her any feedback whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly, strongly got that it was between her and another person.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly got that the offer was going to go to the other person because they have
mm-hmm.
direct experience. And I
mm-hmm.
also keep getting that somehow it is not going to work out with that person.
Mm-hmm.
That either they're
going
to – something just feels very wobbly with that person
mm-hmm.
and not in any way to their disadvantage. I'm even
mm-hmm.
wondering if their current employer is going to give them a big bump or something.
Yeah. What I see, you know, is that the new hire is going to go out on a medical leave at some point soon.
Oh, that is really interesting, Lawrence, because that is how she came into her current position. She relieved someone for a year who had stage 4 cancer, That woman, thankfully, is in recovery, and she went into a position of lesser stress. So you think that could be repeated in terms of a pattern?
And, you know, I, you know, my timeline is a little shifted from Debbie and Adrian's. You know, I think within 3 to 4 months, she's going to hear back from them. And what I see happening is she's actually, you know, Liz is going to be looking or applying with some other companies, and she's going to get an offer from them in the middle of her search. So she'll be in a position to either, you know, pick it up or continue interviewing with these other companies. So she'll be in a good position that way.
Anyone else?
I think that's it.
No?
Yeah, that is super helpful.
And that it'll be interesting to see if what I'm receiving pans out. So we'll see.
All right. Well,
all right.
When you when you book your trip, if you get to take a plus one, give us a call because we're all ready to go to Europe with you. So.
That's right.
All right. All right. Thank y'all so
much.
Make
a really wonderful.
Are you good traveling companions?
Well, Michael's not as good as the rest of us for his personality. So,
All right.
And, Lawrence is single. And looking to mingle. He's the perfect psychic traveling companion.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I certainly got more than I asked for here, so thanks for the bonus.
Hey, anytime. That's the second funhouse way.
Y'all be well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Oh, Michael, you added my status. Okay. All right. How's everybody doing? Are you ready for another phone call? From a caller?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, this this is a 917 area code. We'll go with that. This is area code 917. Hi, you're on the Psychic Funhouse. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oops. Hello.
I hear something. Hello.
Hello, is it me? Oh, great. Thank you, thank you.
Yep.
This is Karen and Dio.
Karen, and you're in Hilo? Is that what I heard?
New York.
New York. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen. What can we do for you today?
Yes, okay. Well, what do you see in ahead of me in terms of meeting new people or money situation improving?
Okay. So finances and social situation are your areas of focus.
Yes. That's pretty good, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice and succinct. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, while everybody's tuning in, I have a question for you. Is there a financial obligation or a debt of some kind from your past that is outstanding? It can be something, you know, you might think is trivial. Anything like that you can remember or comes to mind, Karen?
I don't think so.
Yeah? Okay. What my guides were showing me was that there was some, I wouldn't really even call it a blockage, but maybe a balancing that would happen. I think for more financial flow to come to you, it might be worthwhile just to, you know, once you're done with us, maybe to sit for a minute and think about your financial engagements in the past and see if there isn't either an offering that would be worth making or some kind of a debt mm-hmm. that was worth repaying that you incurred along the way.
There's something that seems to fit in the category the way you were describing it, and it was recently resolved.
Oh, yeah?
I think okay. as of the end of last month. So could that be it, or is it still, you think, something that's still pending or current?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that could be the thing that was stuck. It's almost like, instead of the door being all the way open for you to receive financially, like there was a mm-hmm. kind of a Dutch door situation where, the top half
yeah.
was open, but the bottom closed. So maybe,
I was kind of paying something.
Down. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's put our money on that, so to speak, energize that.
Oh, so hopefully the flow will be opening now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm getting that there's some things that's happened recently in your past that you kind of need to let go of and move away from them, because I'm feeling like this is part of what's causing this block for you. And I'm also getting that it's time to kind of do some self-reflection. And are you kind of on a new path at this point? Because I feel like I see that you're entering a new fork in the road, so to speak. And you have to kind of get within yourself, get some clarity, do some, give yourself some self-love, not quite beat up on yourself so much. Because I feel like you're pulling some of the things from the past and you're still holding on to them, and that's bringing you into self-doubt that is putting up the block for you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So start nurturing yourself.
I've been doing a lot of healing work. So
good.
And,
keep doing it.
That's good.
Sorry?
I said, this is Adrian. I said, no, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you're doing some some healing work. I was wondering, I was getting that there, you have an expectation of receiving some money. I don't know if this is coming from like an inheritance or a settlement of some sort, or even IRS refund, but there's that was the sense that I had, the feel that I had, that there's you're waiting on some money. Some money is due you. Is that right?
I would like it to be, but not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was also getting that there are people from your past that are involved in, kind of the emotional landscape of this, that are adding to the blocks, adding to the difficulty that you have in being able to access, the flow of the money. So it's kind of like what Debbie was saying, about letting go of some things from the past. And in particular, what I was getting was letting go of some people from the past. It still has quite an influence on you.
They're mostly gone now.
Mm-hmm.
Except
yeah.
for my sister, but I can't let go of her.
Mm-hmm.
It's too complicated, and we're
sure.
the only ones left anyway. So, yeah.
So when it comes to management of money, management of responsibility of life, in your family system. I'm getting mom in particular, both parents, mom and dad, were they both very good at managing things, managing money, and expecting that you would be able to do the same?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
My mother definitely had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
I remember my father being upset with her that she wrote too many checks and then it screwed up the balance and he didn't know and oh God.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
So dad was skilled at managing money.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm. And did he ever teach you how to manage money?
No.
Okay. So it can be pretty frustrating, you know, when you like money. I get that you like money. I get that you like to live a comfortable life. And so when you enjoy life, enjoy living well, and you have difficulty managing money because you never really learned how to do that.
I'm good at managing money. It's bringing in the money. I have no way to bring it in. That's the problem.
I see.
I don't have a real career. I had a million different jobs when I was trying to find something that I loved as much as acting. And in between jobs, I was pursuing acting until I ran out of money and had to go back to work. And anyway, it all stopped when, after my mother passed, and I had moved in with my grandmother. And to me, it was temporary, but I made a promise to my mother that I would take her place and take care of my grandmother in her absence. And that sort of stopped it all, and I took care of my grandmother for a good number of years, and by the time she passed, I just went kaput emotionally, physically, and I said, well, it's too late now, and I never went back. And I'm sorry I made that decision, and then I went into a deep hole, and anyway, the rest is history. So, and I've been trying to heal myself and pick myself back up. It was a number of years ago, but that's my story. So it's not like I have anything to, okay, let's just go back and do that again. And the money will come in.
Okay. So, well,
yeah.
Yeah. It's all very interesting. So, you know, one of the things I believe is that if a person has had money in their life, and they go through a period where they don't have it, they usually end up having it again. So yours is coming.
Well, I was hoping to open up to some gifts and be able to use them and bring in some money that way at the same time. It hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing. I think.
Do you see any career or any gift or any direction I missed that I am supposed to take, and that would also bring me in abundance?
I think you're right to focus on finances and social situations. That's definitely the area that is not just has the most potential for you to, I would say, in a way, reinvent yourself, but also is the area that's kind of withered on the vine for you. But I think the difficulty is also that you know, you talked about your previous story and your situation and the obligations that you agreed to. It doesn't sound like wholeheartedly. It's created kind of a residual, like you said, you've been doing some healing work, you know, residual resentments and a feeling of having been left behind. And I think there's, you know, maybe even some hard feelings or bitterness or, you know, just there's a lot of kind of turmoil, I guess, I get within you, personal turmoil. And I think that makes it very difficult to attract these things that you're wanting to you. So there's this sense of wanting them and not having them, and, you know, kind of a battle going on. So if there's a way for you to foster receptivity, both to people and to finances, you know, either through doing something simple or through stepping outside of your comfort zone and doing something you're not used to, so all these things that have been hang-ups for you can't find a foothold in that future endeavor, that's what I would look for, something that is that's new to you, that you know, maybe it's something that you weren't even thinking you were capable of, but that would put things in a totally different perspective, because you really got to shake off all this past history. It's really, you know, I'm gonna use kind of a heavy word here, but I think it's really tormenting you, and it would be really good if you could, you know, just completely let it go so that you have space created to really, you know, with the time you have left here, to really something that fulfills you as a person. But that would be nice, you know. So we're rooting for you, but you gotta figure out what that is. And I don't know that we're gonna be able to present it to you in a box the way that would please you the most. But it the potential is there. You definitely have it. Okay. I hope that's helpful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Karen.
Certainly appreciate you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you calling in.
We're in your corner.
Yeah.
Keep searching. You're gonna create something that I think is really gonna surprise you. So hang in there, all right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving us a call. You take care.
Okay, thank you. You too. Thank you.
Be well.
Wonderful. Right. Yeah, that was some excellent callers, excellent readings, everybody. Boy, that our time went by fast. I can't
sure
believe
did.
It.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Man.
So, you know, thank you. Thank you to all of the callers that, you know, called in, and everyone that's listening. It's greatly appreciated. And again, you know, please like us and love us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Amazon, and tell a friend. Just before we wrap this up, I think that it'd be a good idea if, Michael, if you would tell us, please, how do we contact you? The callers that are holding on, and our listeners, how do they find you?
You can find me at michaeljespinoza.com. You can call or text me at 562-457-0457. How about you, Lawrence?
Well, you can call or text me at 541-344-7534. Email me at givingtree@earthlink.net. Find me on Zuckerberg at Giving Tree Farm Herb Company, or my website, treefarm.com. What about you, Ms. Adrienne? What's the best way for people to reach out and get some of your goodness?
Yeah, thank you so much. People can find me at my website, which is ravenmessages.com. Or you can call me or text me at area code 714-376-7000.
7289. And Debbie, thank you again for being our guest tonight and for
thank
all
you.
Of the information. How can people find you?
Okay, they can email me at debbie@dhhealinglight.com, as well as my website, which is dhhealinglight.com. And phone or text me at 949-244-1447. And thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
amazing. Good info, good energy.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with Michael. I know he was really difficult tonight, but he gets better. New people here.
I try.
You weren't bad at all. That was wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you all. And I know we've got some excellent shows coming up, and this was fun and fabulous. And with that, I guess we should probably say good night and thanks again.
Yes.
Yes.
See you next week.
Thank you, everybody. See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, good night.